problems that others cannot solve. Hallelujah. I will tell you that even in from teaching Sunday school, I think Sister Autumn is teaching this morning for Sister Judy's class, and I told her, I said, I want you in there because I want you to begin to work your way through the system. I want you to work your way how you teach, because you got to solve this before you can solve this. And too many people want to solve this and they fail, so they wiped off the map. Are you with me this morning? Okay. He faced the fire wondering, who are you? How do you know my name? How are you calling my name? And the Lord spoke to him out of this burning bush. And Moses knows who I am. He said, I know who I am, but who are you? Who are you? And who shall I say sent me? I got a lot of questions. When you run into exceptional things, you always have a lot of questions. A lot of questions. And he said, whom may I say sent me? Because they're not going to believe on me. And it's like he's asking a God, our God, the living God, who are you? That who am I going to tell those people sent me? Hallelujah. Jesus was like the burning bush. This bush was not consumed. Any other bush has a finite amount of energy it can expel before it's burned up. But this was an endless burning bush, just like our God. And now, how do I tell Moses who I am? If I tell him I am the Alpha, then I need to tell him I'm also the Omega. If I tell him I'm the beginning, then I better tell him I'm the ending. If I tell him I'm the way, then I need to tell him I'm the resurrection. If I tell him I am the bright and the morning star, then I need to let him know I'm the lily of the valley also. If I tell him I'm King of Kings, then I better tell him I'm Lord of Lords too. If I tell him I'm the Prince of Peace, I need to tell him I'm the Prince of this world also. An endless God, how do I say who I am in one sentence or one word to you who do not really know me? Just tell them I am that I am. Just tell them I am whatever you need at the present moment. That is who I am. Because if I tell you I'm Jehovah Jireh, then I got to tell you I'm Jehovah Nissi. And on and on and on. Because our God is everything. You can sum it up with saying I am that I am. Because we have an exceptional God. Hallelujah. It's not like all other gods of this world. Our God can hear. Our God can feel. Our God can see. Amen. The rule in this world, those gods cannot see. They cannot hear. They cannot answer prayer. But our God is an exception to the rule. And the exception became the rule. Hallelujah. So when Jesus came to earth, he began to minister with these exceptions to the rule. He talked about when his ministry started that he came to bind up brokenhearted people. No one wants to fool with brokenhearted people in the world. The lame could not. He said, I come to heal the lame. The lame were the exception to the temple. You could not get in the temple lame. That's why the lame man was so excited when he was healed. He went leaping and running and rejoicing in the temple because he couldn't get in being lame. And that is the people that he came to minister to. The ones the world called their exception, he said, that's the ones I want. The ones you have in captivity, I will release them. The ones that are bruised, I will set at liberty. I came for the exceptions because I am an exceptional God. Hallelujah. And so Mr. Nicodemus is seeing Jesus do all these miracles. Did you know a miracle is what? An exception to the rule. That's what a miracle is. It is an exception to the rule. If it's supposed to do this, that's not a miracle. That's not a miracle at all. But when it's not supposed to happen that way, and in comes Jesus turning water into wine, that's not supposed to happen. It's not supposed to say, Lazarus, come forth, and he walks out in his grave clothes. Jesus come and took the exceptions to the rules and founded a ministry. So that this man who is now a ruler says, I better look at the exception. I better go ask this guy, How can you do this? How is it that you can do these things? He said, you must be an exception. He was like Moses. He turned aside to see this burning bush. He turned aside and he brought all of his attention to Jesus that night. And he said, I know that thou art a teacher sent from God. For no man can do these things except God be with him. And when Jesus had his full attention, he began to tell him the exceptions to the rule. He answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That became the rule. Are you understanding my little thought here of exceptionism this morning? That became the rule. Hallelujah. And Nicodemus confused because the rules say you must come through the woman. Can a man who's old, can he be born again? Can you see Brother Artie Petrie being born again? Coming through a mother's womb? And Jesus looked at him and he said, no, verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. That became the rule. He used the exceptions and made them rules with no exception. Wow. So this became the general rule where Jesus used this exceptionism, I call it, except a man repent, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Except a man be converted and become as a little child, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisee. And he began to minister on exceptions. And they became his rules. My. So many rules in this life. And in, I will tell you, what happened in organized religion is we got more rules. And I don't mean anything by this, but that UPC manual, I looked at one years ago, it was this thick. It was about that thick. Now it's that thick. Why? Because we keep increasing the rules. And what happens is we become just like the world. We got to live by rules. Where Paul said, handle not, taste not, all that goes to the perishing. It ought to be in your heart without a rule. See, that's the exception. Jesus looked and said, even the Gentiles don't do this. He said they became a law unto themselves. The rule became them. That's an exception. When a man in his heart begins to repent, not because he broke the rule, but because he broke the code in his heart. Against God, against the prodigal son didn't have to, but in his heart, he knew I have violated heaven. I have violated my father. And he goes back home saying, Daddy, I have sinned against heaven and against you and no more worthy. The rule book didn't say that. My. In fact, perhaps the rules was that he'd give his father would give him that inheritance. I don't know what the rules were then, but I know this. This man came to himself and said, how much better would it be for me to be in my father's house than to sit out here? I perish with hunger. Hallelujah. I'll go back home, and if daddy's got a rule that says, well, if you come back home, you got to work your way up from the slop pen to the palace, that's fine. I'll do whatever the rule says. But when he got home, he met an exceptional dad who said, I forgive you, son. Hallelujah. It's okay. Don't matter. Because I don't live by those rules. I live by love and not rules. Love knows no rules. Hallelujah. I'm fixing to be gone here. Jesus Christ was the firstborn of the born again. That was the exception to the rule. Now, that kind of confuses people when I say that. But you see, when you read in the book of Luke, you will find that it's the genealogy starts and it says, it goes backwards. It starts with Jesus, who was supposed to be the son of Joseph, who was the son of God. And then you go on down, all the way down to it says Seth, who was the son of Adam, who was the son of God. Adam, who was the son of God. Jesus, who was the son of God. so that Jesus, the last man Adam, was the first man Adam born again. He was God's first son in creation. But Jesus Christ was the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The word begotten means to be born of woman. So that Jesus Christ was the last man Adam born again to redeem the first man Adam. And the whole book is about the exception to the rule. If we're going to live like the world, we don't need this book. But this is an exceptional book. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? This is an exceptional book. It, in here is life and death. It is a sword. It is powerful. Amen. To the dividing asunder of the soul, of the marrow, and the thoughts and the intents of your heart. It knows you like nobody else knows you. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ became the firstborn of the born again. I'll read and I'll close with this. 1 John 5:17. This always throws a curve to people. All unrighteousness is sin. Boy, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. All things that aren't right. How you treat your neighbor. What you do with Uncle Sam. What you don't do with Uncle Sam. How you treat other people. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin unto death we know to be blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten, see, we too are begotten of God. We are born again. He told Nicodemus, this is the new rule. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except you are born again of water and of spirit. You cannot. It became the rule. So we too are begotten of God, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Do you know why it toucheth him not? Do you know why the wicked one bothers you? Because there's something in you to bother. See, I said something right there and you don't understand it. The reason it bothers you is because there's something in you to bother. If it doesn't bother you, you see, it's like going to someone that you want to goose their ribs and you go, what? And they go like that. You're going to do it again. You know why? It bothers them. You got to get a kick out of it. So you go, next time you go, fuck them in the ribs. But if they don't do anything and it doesn't bother them, you're going to quit doing it. So the devil's looking to see what bothers you. And when he find out what bothers you, he's relentless. And that's why Jesus, when he saw the tempter, he said, the tempter cometh, but he has nothing in me. He doesn't bother me. We have got to get to the place where nothing bothers us. Nothing bothers us, because we're not of this world. I'm telling you, when you're dead, nothing will bother you. I need to be that dead to the things of this world. It doesn't bother me. And you know what I'm talking about. I mean, I know if your children are out in danger, you're going to worry, you're going to do. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about things that create you to sin. Because this is what we're talking about, unrighteousness, things that brings out sinful things in you. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now some of y'all are probably wondering, am I really born of God then? We know that even though we're born again, we still are sinners saved by grace. And we have to repent when we make mistakes. We know that. We have an advocate with the Father. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. He keepeth himself. And the wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. We are the exception to the rule. This world is wicked, exceedingly wicked. But you and I can live above that. Why? We are an exception to the rules. Hallelujah. I don't have to live like them, act like them, respond like them in any way. Because if you have God in you, you've got to come to the place where nothing bothers you. Oh, that's another good sermon, but I don't have time. Amen. Glory to God. God bless you. Take your break, and we'll come back in for morning worship. Brother Fontenot will be preaching for us this morning, by the way. So I'm looking forward to that.